Let's pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, ask your mercies that you would teach us of yourself and your Son and the Holy Spirit and what has been done for us, that we might live thankful and obedient lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to read Job 16, which is where I just opened my Bible. Not a lot of thankfulness in Job, I don't think. Let's go to Psalm 16. I'll just read the first few verses. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent one in whom is my delight. Amen. Well, I've been around churches for a long time, and I've pastored them for most of that time. And I have an observation that you don't really know the full measure of the love of God until you delight in the people you go to church with. Like everybody here. And the word is delight. I used it advisedly. And I use it on the authority of the Word of God in a psalm that is about David in its first instance, but as we learn in the book of Acts, we just saw, David, or Peter said that David, speaking by the Holy Spirit, knew that he was speaking of his son, Jesus Christ. So, reading that again, we'll consider words not from David, but from Jesus. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge, he surely said during the Holy Week. I say to you, Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good thing apart from you. As for the saints in the land, those saints that have misunderstood me, those saints that will deny me, those saints that will turn against me, as for those saints, as for those 12 who were just hours ago arguing about who was the greatest, as for those saints, they're my delight. I take delight in them. And he could say the same thing about the saints here. The saints here at Covenant who are distracted and faithful and sometimes unfaithful and sometimes generous and sometimes miserly and sometimes humble and sometimes proud. And I'm just talking about the pastor and his wife right now. I haven't started talking about you guys. Sometimes bitter, sometimes tender. Jesus delights in you. And the more you understand his delight in you, the more you understand the love of God for you, the more you will understand and be able to delight in the very pedestrian people that are in this room right now and that will be here on Sunday. It's just the calculus of Christianity. If God loved me, I most surely can find a way to love you. Not only love you, because you can love out of obligation, right? You can just grit your teeth and love. But what of delight? Delighting in one another. Finding that unique treasure, that part of the image of God that only you or you or you possess. That I don't have, but I can see and enjoy in you. Gandalf famously said, "Hobbits are really amazing creatures, as I've said before. You can learn all there is to know about their ways in a month, and yet after 100 years, they can still surprise you." You know, church people are not that complicated to be quite. I'm sorry, I know we're Reformed and we're super smart, okay? And we've got so much right, and that's good for us. But we're not simple. I won't go into it now, but there's about 5 different types of church people. I've been loving them and learning from them and helping them for these 35 years. We're pretty simple, but there is an invested beauty and glory in you and the people next to you that is waiting to be discovered. Now think of David here. David had an army, he had courts, he had hobbies, he had palaces and ministers who did his bidding in gold and silver. But after the Lord, he says in this passage, the Lord is his great good, and what is connected to the Lord that will last forever? Not the heavens and the earth, there will be new heavens and new earth, but the first fruits of that new creation are you and me and our brothers and sisters around the city. And he delights in them. You know, the way we treat the church, and it's no better. Pastors up and go for the lamest of reasons. But so do church people. It's kind of like, you know, the NCAA coaches get up and leave when they get a better offer, and players enter into the portal, and we all lament and talk about how that's terrible for young men and women in athletics and college sports and all that stuff, and it's exactly what we all do with one another. We just bounce. You know, I get it. It's hard. It's really hard to be with church people. In fact, I'm convinced that this is the hardest place in the world to have relationships because the expectations are so much more well-defined and so much more exalted than the relational expectations you have in any other setting, with perhaps the exception of your families. Certainly in work, people will tell me, "Well, I feel more comfortable in it to be myself at work." And I'm, "Oh, first of all, good for you. But also, you know, there are no covenantal demands at work, you know, except whatever HR imposes on you, which are probably pretty simple compared to the Ten Commandments." It's hard to be in church. I understand that. Well, I assure you, I've been here 6 months. I don't know of any specific cases, but I would be very surprised if I haven't hurt someone already. I guarantee I'll hurt someone by the time it's my first anniversary here. I mean, it's just the way that it is. So you have to look more carefully, more closely. I've said, as I began this, I said, the greatest measure of how well you know how much God has loved you and how he's loved you is how at least much effort you put into finding reasons to delight in one another. And you can look at them because, you know, we're all parts of one body. So that's a whole image, a whole theological construct for how we can delight and be thankful for one another in this mutual need and honor that we give. That there are people here that contribute things that you cannot contribute. No matter how much you study or how much you try, you can't do their job in the body of Christ. There are also people here, as I said before, who in that way reflect the glory of God in the face of Christ as a gem in ways that you never could. And if you look at them, maybe especially when they're bothering you, and you try to find what it is about them that shows you parts of Christ that you can only see when you look at them. And when you think about the gifting, each one of us given a certain set of gifts, treasures, wealth, spiritual wealth that we can share with one another, and you didn't get it all. When you understand that everyone here is a fledgling new creation, and that the way you love them now and what you see in them now is just like in you, just the fits and starts of new life. And you get to try to find that. And here's what I would say for people you're with a very long time in church. You find that, and then in glory, you'll see its full fruitfulness. And you'll say, yeah, that's what was going on back in Issaquah 25 millennia ago. We don't delight in each other enough. We bearing one another's burdens, forgiving one another when we have been offended by each other, loving as Christ has loved us. I mean, the only gifts that we have, the only treasures that we have, that we will have there, the only thing we have now that we will have then, is the Holy Spirit, the work of person of Christ and the Father, and this room, and every other saint. It's the only treasure, only thing you can enjoy now that you can also enjoy then. So I want us to be thankful for one another. That's it. I want us to delight in one another. That's the whole message. That's the whole thing. If he as a Christian is your neighbor, he is holy in almost the same way. Do you know what C.S. Lewis is speaking of? He's speaking of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And he is saying to you and us and me that as sacred as that great feast is, so sacred are we to one another. And that's a challenge because, just look around the room. But when you look around the room and think, wow, this is going to be hard because they don't look too delightful to me. You know, what I want you to know is I told the whole room to look around, which means people are looking at you and saying, wow, this is going to be hard because they don't look too delightful to me. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole gospel. Love each other anyway. Find a way to delight in one another. Because I tell you this, if Jesus can love me, if Jesus can delight in me, well, we can surely find a way to appreciate one another. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for your mercies. I pray that you would teach us these things, that you would help us to see you in others, to understand how you've loved us, and then overflow with that same love to one another. We pray in your good name. Amen.